This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing.
Greetings for Lulu Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. The book today is titled Souls Sitting Waiting. This 72-page creative expression book of poetry and lyrical collaborations has been penned by Julia Kelly, who would under normal circumstances join me but is unable to do so today, so she has asked me to share her thoughts as best I can and read from her book. Reviewers whose notes are on the back of the book have this observation. This is from Kim, acrylic author, The Myth Behind All Truths. I caught myself oohing and aahing, even gasping at certain phrases and lines she used. I felt like she should be beyond famous. It made the world seem cruel in a way that it isn't well known. The brilliant unknown poet. Another, Joseph Andrew Newsom, critic writer for Voix des Arts, shares this. There are destinations within the innermost essence of humanity that only poetry can reach. Places that defy description, direction, and distance. They're landscapes, skies, valleys, and voids that exist solely in words and that only eyes of meters and rhymes can perceive. These are the worlds of Julia Kelly's Soul Sits Waiting. Beyond the complacent stupidity of everyday things are the souls of these verses. Beyond the crushing quest to meet expectations is the purity of poetry, as only a few people ever experience it. He further describes the work this way. These verses are a journey through the thoughts of which we are afraid and into corners of ourselves we deny. And Professor J. Maurice Thomas, an intriguing collection of challenging, surreal poetry reminiscent of Lorca, where images of Southern Gothic, cycles of nature, loss, broken relationships, and death are combined in personal juxtapositions that rise like layers of October fog draped upon dying vineyards. Before the reader is guided back into solar light, but left with the feeling of, I don't trust me, but I trust you. Julia, in her own words, has described it this way. This book was written about many characters, both named and nameless, all portrayed, have once endured very painful loss. Whether through war or relationship loss or exile, it deals with emotional loss, physical loss, and metaphorical loss. It is raw and painful, but the message is this. Humanity cannot escape pain. It can only go through it with a higher purpose with lessons learned. The healing of pain does not come through turning a blind eye to it, but through learning to love more deeply and by persevering through it. Yes, she describes, it is morbid, dark, and bleak, but I am shining a light on the suffering, exposing the wound so that light, natural healing cycles, and the hope of eternality, that which evolves, his or her self-chosen journey. I'll share one of her works, titled Snow Sea. Snow Sea and the Greenest Weed, twisting my ankles to the bottom, inside out to inside me. Don't worry. My mermaid soul, I am still far from this black bed death. The bottom-dwelling, fish-failing ego. My love, you would leave this place, my deep daughter, water, to run upon the shore. And all these waves are still crashing, but don't follow me this deep, because you don't have the heart to, and don't dive into this dying sea when your emotions are still too weightless. You will only float aimlessly. You must choose. Find your own way to courage. You and I are dead, with all the promises disembodied, but something in the water, the air, the earth, and me, something in these words may lead you back to me in some distant ethereal dream. You were my everything, my heart, my blood, my bone. Wherever this goodbye should lead, far from this detoxing sea, the crescent moon still holds our everything within the pallor soul of something. This love, oh, this love, it is dead in this snow-melted sea. The snow, the you, the me. Finally, her piece that's the title of her book, Soul Sits Waiting. On the screen, in an endless stare, we're black and white in forever air. On our bench, on the screen, our old Hollywood, that one-shot dream. Look up, and see me. I'm not on your screen. This old bench may seem so empty, but still, sometimes it smells like you. Are you ever going to know? Touch my star. You're not alone. With you, waiting, my soul sits, waiting. You read your paper. Hollywood smolders. Paper dolls in your L.A. scene, they're glued to you like cherry starlets chasing, hating wounds in our Hollywood dream. The fog is lifting. Our body's shifting. Grainy motion ever reeling. You're not dreaming. Can you see me? What I'm feeling. This old bench may seem so empty. Still, sometimes it smells like you. Are you ever going to know? Touch my star. You're not alone. I'm with you, waiting. My soul sits waiting. This old bench may seem so empty. Still, sometimes it smells like you. Are you ever going to know? Touch my star. You're not alone. I'm with you, waiting. My soul still sits, waiting. The preceding has been excerpts from the book Soul Sits Waiting, Poetry and Lyrical Collaborations, the author Julia Kelly. Julia has been writing since age 5. She's also described as an experienced author, journalist, screenplay writer, editor, and most recently enjoying lyrical collaboration in the music industry. To get a copy of her book, just do a search online under her name, Julia, J-U-L-E-A, last name Kali, C-A-L-L-I, and you'll be able to locate this book and possibly other collaborations in the music industry as well. The book is also available by request at your local bookseller through Lulu Press, also Barnes & Noble, Amazon Online, and other fine retailers. For Lulu Press, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Have you heard? The pages of American Patchwork and Quilting magazine come to life on our new weekly online radio show, American Patchwork and Quilting. Join Pat Sloan, our blogging and quilt designer host, as she talks about the latest trends, ideas, and inspirations. Her guests include quilt pattern designers, authors, quilt shop owners, and our editors. All quilters, just like you. Call in with your questions. Get quilting tips from industry experts. Learn about free patterns. Hear behind-the-scenes stories from our magazines, American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilt Sampler, and Quilts and More. Get the scoop on free stuff and find out more about the best independent quilt shops in North America. To listen to a live show, tune in Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern. Just log on to allpeoplequilt.com/radio. To hear past shows, go to iTunes and search for American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We hope you'll join us because we know that quilting changes everything.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
Hello and welcome to Toginet Radio's Author Voices on Air. My name is Deb Han, and it's a pleasure to be with you today. Tell me, do you have a memory, or maybe even you've caught yourself in conversation with some of your friends or colleagues and sort of reflected upon the things we were or weren't taught in high school? Yes, we learned about trigonometry, and yes, we learned about science and history and some really cool things. But did we learn about communication? Did we learn how to be the best we could be when we were in school, be that primary school or high school? Yeah, I think you'll find no, we didn't. Well, all that has the possibility to change, because today we're talking to a wonderful man by the name of Russell Aitken. How are you, Russell?
I'm good, thanks, Deb. How are you?
Excellent, thank you. You've written a fantastic book called The Power of Me, and it's a great manual handbook that's really directed at, 8 to 12, maybe 15-year-old kids. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yep. Yeah. Tell us, what inspired you to write this manual, The Power of Me, this book, The Power of Me, for our kids, basically?
Well, like you said in your intro, what sort of stuff did you learn at school, and did it really help you as an adult and to make decisions about, you know, really important decisions in your life, really important things, goals that you wanted to achieve. And, so as an adult, I learnt so much more. Well, I think my education sort of really started when I left school. And I learned so much about life and how to, talk with people and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And I just think, wow, the stuff that I learned, especially in personal development, I would have loved to have known this as a kid. And in school, I would have loved to have learned it in school. I mean, I think it's as important or even more important than, you know, your maths and your English. I mean, sure, you need to learn how to read and write, but, this stuff is so important. And, so that's the inspiration for the book.
It's true. And even the point you make, the point around goal setting. So, you know, as kids, the closest really in school conversation when we talk about setting goals for kids in school is about what do you want to be when you grow up, when you leave school, and so we get those different professions, like, you know, being a doctor, mm-hmm. a lawyer, a fireman, policeman, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
You take it one step further than that.
Yeah, look, it's all, we're all individuals. I mean, there's there's nearly 7 billion people on the planet, and everyone is different.
True.
So even though 2 people might want to be doctors and 2 people might want to, the pathway, the journey that those 2 individuals take is just going to be so different.
Yeah, it's a good way to look at it. And I know, you know, one of the points that comes out in your book is that it's who's the kind of person you want to be when you grow up, not just, you know, what's the uniform you want to wear. So it really gives them that opportunity to make choices around their values and their character traits and what's going to be important to them. Yeah, I think that's a really beautiful part of your book. The other thing I really enjoyed about the way you've written this is that you're not talking at the kids, like you're not telling them to do this and do that and, you know, crossing this T and dotting that I. It's not an instruction to them. Like you're really engaging them and getting alongside them. What was your inspiration to do that? And, you know, have you seen it somewhere else? I thought that was incredibly wise, your process.
Look, I've studied a lot of personal development and, you know, the big names, Anthony Robbins, Bob Proctor, and, yeah, Bob Proctor is I'm a huge fan of Bob Proctor, and, you know, a lot of his stuff, you know, I borrowed from in the book. And look, he's 81 years old and he's still going strong and he's still inspiring people. He's still on fire. And, you know, if I can be like that at 81, I would be very grateful and very happy. And to know that I've helped a lot of people along the way feel that same way would just be an enormous thing for my life.
Yeah. It's true, and if you could inspire that in this generation, that, you know, the kids of this generation to grow in that way as well, wow, what an impact that would have on the world. So tell me, are you introducing this into schools? Are you talking to teachers? Or, you know, how is this message getting out to the kids of this generation?
Look, when we wrote the book... there was also another 2 ladies that I know helped me write the book. Mm-hmm. And, they're wonderful ladies, Fran and Nikki. And, you know, we ran some workshops and did some, got some feedback from a lot of different people. And we got a lot of, you know, great results and it was really enjoyable. But to get it into school, I mean, the curriculum is so full of stuff that the government think you need to know. So look, ideally, I'd love to get it into schools. And, you know, like I said before, I think it's some of the most important stuff you can learn.
Mm.
But I think for now, it needs to be an extra activity that you can do. But, you know, the rewards from that extra activity can be, you know, unlimited.
Yeah. Well, I suppose there's words of encouragement to you. I mean, you know, the Dalai Lama talks very passionately about if every 8-year-old was taught to meditate, we'd have world peace in a generation. And increasingly in primary school now, you know, kids have that relaxation time and they're being encouraged to, you know, to invest in their mental and their mindfulness and so on. So who's to say, you know, this might be something that, you know, the popular education system actually opens up to at some point in time. You never know.
Yeah. Look, I mean, there's quite a few alternative educations that we haven't tried yet, but it could be on the cards.
It's true. Tell me, Russell, what qualifies yourself, Fran, and Nikki to espouse these wonderful words of wisdom in the way that you do for the kids?
Look, the highest qualification I have is the passion to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Look, you know, I'm not saying I'm more qualified than anyone else or anyone else is more qualified than me, but it's just basically I've come across, and so has Fran and Nikki, stuff that really made a difference in our lives, and like I said before, that would have made a huge difference when we were younger. So we've done our best to get it out there and bring it to a younger audience.
Absolutely. And I know that you do a lot of work with young people professionally already, don't you?
Yeah, look, I work with young people that are at risk. So, yeah, a lot of these kids come from broken homes and troubled families and troubled histories. And, yeah, I see a lot of trauma in kids. I part of this material is to, you know, give them better skills to cope with the things that happen, but not only just to tell them what to do, but to help them understand more about themselves and empower themselves and improve their self-esteem and confidence, and so they can make their own decisions for them, because they are an individual. Everyone's an individual.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, the key words you said there is to empower themselves. And, you know, genuinely, Russell, that's what your book does. You know, like I said before, this isn't a book that you're not talking at the kids. You're not telling them to, you know, pick up their clothes and clean their room. It's not that kind of book. You know, it's a wonderful process that actually engages them. I think that's what I was most impressed with when I read through this. So, you know, really getting them to engage their imagination and to think about, you know, what are the possibilities for their world. So, very cool.
Yep.
I was just thinking, actually, that not dissimilar, some of the processes that were in your book, but, you know, are the kinds of things that the Richard Bransons of the world were actually, you know, engaged in as children. And I think it's turned out okay for Richard Branson, don't you? Has it worked out for him pretty well?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
He's doing all right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but, you know, he had a lot of challenges when he was younger.
Very true.
Without the challenges he's going through, he wouldn't be the person he is today. But, you know, challenges aren't bad. It's how you see yourself and how you move through and grow through the challenges that makes all the difference.
Yeah.
And that's part of what this understanding of the book is, that you get to understand yourself as an individual and how you work and how best you can make decisions for yourself.
Fantastic. Tell us, Russell, where can people get a hold of a copy of The Power of Me?
Yep, you can go to the Balboa Press website and just look up The Power of Me.
Excellent.
And you can get yourself a physical copy or a digital copy.
Excellent. So it's hard copy and on the Kindle, is that the soft copy?
Yeah, yep.
Great.
For sure.
Do you have the Balboa Press website address? Do you know what that is? Is it the
Balboa Press? I believe it's, yeah, balboapress.com.
Perfect. And Balboa, for all of those playing along at home, Balboa is spelled B-A-L-B-O-A. B-A-L-B-O-A.
Yeah, as in Rocky Balboa.
Ah, there you go. Yes. I hadn't thought about it in that light, so there you go.
okay.
Perfect. All right. Russell, thank you so much for taking the time to share your wisdom with this generation, and I really hope that your intention is realised and will be recognised, you know, in a relatively short space of time. So, thank you to you.
It's been a,
to Fran and to Nikki. Yeah, please go on. Say what you're going to say.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure, Deb, and thanks to your time as well.
Not a problem.
I hope everyone enjoys it.
So, for those of you that are listening now, what a great gift. We're coming up to, Christmas is just around the corner and so on. So even, a practical birthday gift or back to school in the new year, an exercise for kids to do in the school holidays, it's a really wonderful resource to sow and invest and nurture your kids over the summer break. So, Russell, once again, thank you so much. I really, I thank you for taking the time to share your wisdom. It's been great to talk with you this afternoon.
No worries. Thanks, Deb.
Pleasure. Okay. Team, my name is Deb Han, and it's been a pleasure to be with you for TogiNet Radio, Author Voices on Air. Until next time, bye for now.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing. And we'll be right back after these messages.
It's the Fitness Minute with fitness expert Annette Hammond.
When your focus is to lose weight or maintain your present weight, exercising effectively to burn the most calories is crucial. You want to give yourself every advantage to burn as many calories as possible. One good tip is to do your strength training exercises standing up so you can keep your heart rate up. Another tip is to perform multi-joint exercises when you can. For example, as you're doing a forward lunge, add bicep curls while you're coming up from the lunge. Another example is to execute a wide squat, and as you're coming up from the squat, perform a shoulder press. By doing these multi-joint exercises, you're putting more demands on your body, keeping your heart rate up, and working more muscles at the same time. The goal is to burn the most calories during that workout. I'm Annette Hammond. To hear other fitness and weight loss tips, visit our website at AnnetteHammond.com.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
Greetings for Indie Book Publishing, Lulu Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. Today we get to talk about my favorite subject, or at least one of them, food. Recipes from my Persian kitchen. And joining me is author Nazreen Z. Zarushki. Thank you for joining me today, Nazreen.
Thank you so much for having me.
Beautiful book. Lots of colorful illustrations and 168 pages, many recipes that I am not familiar with. Share with my listening audience a little of your background and how this book got to be written, and also share with them what the term or the general area of the world would be represented in the term Persian.
Persia is now, which called Iran, used to call Persia because it was Persian Empire. And in several years ago, they changed it to Iran. But we like still to present Persia because it make it special. Then we don't, you don't make a mistake between Iran and Iraq.
Sure.
And plus, our culture is totally different in that part of the world. We are the neighbor of Turkey, Russia, and Iraq, and Pakistan. And we are different because our culture background is different.
Is the food that you have represented in your book, is it influenced by these other cultures that surround Persia or Iran?
Well, of course, we don't have any. We don't have spices in my country. We import spices from India, like turmeric and pepper, cinnamon, but we don't really We don't use too much of any of these. We use very mild. Then maybe you never feel it, but we have the most expensive with saffron. It's more specifically spices, which they don't use. Our neighbors, they don't use it. We use it the most.
Now, saffron is difficult to come by, is it not, in good quality form or not?
Saffron, yes, it is very expensive because they are a flower that has only maybe 2-3 stick of saffron there. So somebody has to pick them up and do that. Anyway, that throughout the world, Persian cuisine has a reputation for being among the most colorful and flavorful and healthy.
Beautiful. You have you've included a lot of recipes that would be pretty simple for even someone who is a very elementary cook like maybe I am, and should be easy to follow. What would you say is the foundation for most of the Persian cooking that you have outlined in your book? Would it be soups or would it be meat dishes? How would you describe it?
I can describe it. Our main dishes is rice, but we combine rice with meat, either fish or veal, cow, beef, and we use a lot of fish in our fish and lamb in our culture. I like beef. My favorite one is beef, but I'm filled with creative blend of recipes, and then we just put them together, all these, and lots of herb and spices and vegetables.
It's beautifully done. You mentioned a dish. My wife was trying to put something similar to this together last a week or so ago, and it didn't turn out well because we couldn't find the right rice combination. But you talk about rice cream. What is rice cream?
Rice cream is a combine of milk and rice. That you can buy any kind of a rice, but the secret of Persian cooking is low and is slow. You cannot just make it in 10 minutes in the morning. You need to leave it with milk in low speed, and then at the end add sugar. If you add sugar at the first, you won't be able to make it. I explain everything in the book. The book is very, very well explained.
It is simple, and you've mentioned also something that is helpful. There are many of my listeners, and me included, that may feel intimidated by the different types of spices that are used or the ingredients. You mentioned rose water, which is a common or fairly common ingredient, but not in our supermarkets. But you suggest Mediterranean markets or even Chinese markets would have that that ingredient.
Exactly. But these days you can find all my ingredients in regular common grocery at your neighborhood, even rose water. I wrote this book, I started 3 years ago, but now it's different. You can find everything all kind of a grocery.
You are living in North Carolina. I'll just mention that for my listeners so that they won't think I'm calling the Middle East somewhere. Nazreen, for my listeners, you are in North Carolina and yet are focusing on Persian cooking. Nazreen, what is your background that allowed you or prepared you to become an expert in Persian cooking?
Well, I just love the love of cooking was with me when I was little, and I started hanging around my mother, my aunt, my grandmother. Even kids were not allowed there. So I start, this book really is based on 40 years of a cooking experience. And is that the answer of your question?
Yeah, I think that answers it. One thing also, there's a lot of concern, or there's much concern in the eating industry, people like me, about health. Is this a healthier way to cook, do you feel?
Yes. If you cook the way I gave it to you, those recipe in the Persian cooking, you're very healthy. Because the way we put the spices and then herbs and together, and they are really good. This because this book is filled with a creative blend of recipes that advise culture and treasure, and also put the ingredients, seasoning, and herbs are very healthy. They have a very health benefit.
You have one recipe in here that I also was gravitating toward, having to do with a maligned vegetable, spinach. And yet there are ways to cook spinach that are very tasty, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes. You just put just very little spray oil, and then cook your spinach, and then add, you can add garlic to it, you can add eggs to it, and it's, yes, very healthy and very delicious. You don't have to go too much to fry it or something like that.
You have a lot of soup recipes, which this time of year in the United States, we're recording this in the early fall. Fall and winter and even spring is a wonderful time for soups. You have focused on many of those, noodle soups. You have chickpea and other ingredients that are commonplace. What do you, in researching and putting your book together and assembling everything, what was the one recipe that you enjoy the most when you are preparing it?
What my student enjoy the most is a chicken recipe soup. It's very simple. You just cook your chicken and then put the chicken aside. You can eat that with something else and add diced carrot, diced potatoes, and diced and tomatoes. And at the end, add some cilantro or parsley, depends on your taste, and cook it for an hour. This is a very delicious soup. You can add some fresh lemon juice, lime juice, both. This is what my student liked the most. But the pomegranate soup is my favorite.
Wow.
I love them all, but pomegranate soup is my favorite.
That's an interesting take on a vegetable or a soup. Is that considered a sweet soup, or is that something that you'd serve cold or hot?
Yes, hot, but you still can have it cold. But it's a little bit sweet, yes. I add myself, always I add 2 tablespoons of sugar. But some people, they can add or less. But my taste is 2 tablespoons of sugar, which I set here. But it's up to you. But it's so delicious.
You have included also some wonderful drink recipes. What is your favorite drink recipe that you have in your book?
My favorite drink recipe is my mint syrup vinegar.
Wow.
It's very, very easy to make because I have in my backyard, I plant some herbs, and always on season, I go there and then I grab some mint, and when I made my simple syrup, and I add my vinegar, and I put a bunch of clean mint in there, and they cook for another 5-10 minutes, and then I turn it off, and I put it in a strainer. Then I add water and ice to it. It's very delicious drink. That's my favorite one.
It's a beautiful book, wonderfully done. The photos that are in the book, were you involved in the creation of those, or how was that done? Was that a complicated process?
People ask me if I had a food designer.
Yeah.
I was the food designer.
You were the food designer.
And then my photographer used to come once a week to my house, and then I cook 3-4 kind of a food, and I was responsible for all of them.
Beautiful. Well, for those who like to explore the different foods and cultures of the world, this is a beautiful book. Recipes from My Persian Kitchen. My guest has been Nazreen Z. Zereshki. Where do my listeners get a copy of your book, Nazreen?
They can go to Amazon. They can go Lulu Publishing Company, and they can go to Barnes & Noble Digital One. They don't have the actual one. They have digital one. And also, they can have my phone number, and my phone number is 336-327-8843. Anybody can call me anytime they want to, or they email me, which is zn3ama@aol.com. And they always can call me, and if they need help, I'm willing to tell them that where they can get their ingredients and then how they do it if they have problems.
Very good. And are you planning to maybe start a blog or a website in the future?
Sure.
Wonderful.
Sure.
And has that been launched yet?
No. Not yet.
All right. They can do a search under recipes from my Persian kitchen. That would be the easiest way to connect with you. And are you planning a follow-up book to this series?
Oh, yes. I have an appointment with my friend who's my teacher, and then she helped me to fix my grammar and typing and editing, light editing for me. I already started for vegetarian and dessert from all over the world. This time is only Persian, it's universal.
Excellent. Thank you for joining me today and sharing your story. This is a wonderful book. I am certainly going to be trying some of the recipes personally and would recommend this to my listeners as well. Thanks for joining me, Nazreen.
Thank you so much. And I had a great talk with you.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining me today. For Indie Book Publishing Lulu Press, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.